Special Agent H. Justin Pierce, Personal Notes. New Orleans, Friday, January 9, 2009. It's lunchtime. So, hello, Miami. Bye-bye, Miami. No physical casualties on our side this time. What was supposed to be a commando raid turned into a bargaining session. We managed to locate the warehouse, and through Farina's local contact, a man named Gutzman, who is currently MIA, but more about that later, we managed to get some intel on the said warehouse. Not enough, of course, never enough, but we deduced that the package was probably going to be located in Building D. They range from A to E, and D is where it was going to be. Anyway, protected by anything from 4 to 12 guards, all with criminal records that tend toward the violent end of the spectrum, dogs, and solid metal fences. Doing on the QT was going to prove to be all but impossible. The building operated on a separate IT network, so Olive could not do much for us there, except cause a power outage at a convenient moment, and schedule fake deliveries. We had a brainstorming session, which, given our kind, is indication that there really is a storm in people's brains, which involved successively the following plans. Driving into the compound on a fake delivery and taking it from there. Sending fake packages into the other buildings, blow them up, use the confusion to get through the fence, and take it from there. Send Frost up as a sniper on the roof to keep people's heads down, and take it from there. Kidnap the head of security and threaten him, his family, his dog, to take us in, and take it from there. You'll have gathered by now there was a lot of take it from there because we had next to no info on Building D. In the end, we decided to settle for as stealthy as possible approach. Between two tours by the guards, we would burn a hole in the fence, burn the door to the warehouse open, eliminate the opposition, in Delta Green terminology, neutralize, and then get Olive virtually into the building network. So she could find the package, and we can get out in the same way we got in, covered by other buildings, blowing up, and a convenient power cut just to add a cherry to the top of the cake. There are so many known unknowns in there that we should have gotten Donald Rumsfeld to be our operations commander. But anyway, that's how we rolled in the wee hours of Friday morning, near the end of the shift. Rain was pouring down, which was good for us. Then we bumped into a beautiful blonde, in a cocktail dress, and a very expensive fur coat. You know, I'm not sure what Alzi's HR policies are, but I'm sure skills are part of the requirements, but apparently looks definitely count for something. Her name was Lola, and I don't think she was a showgirl. Anyway, long story short, Django Jones had been found dead in a Cuban hotel room, tortured. He'd like to have spilled the beans so hard they could make fajita soup out of the carpet. And therefore, we were probably walking into a trap. Lola told us, and Olive confirmed it. Lola offered a deal on behalf of Alziz. He gets us the fragments we owe him. I kind of think that had been the old boy's plan all along. Matthews was supposed to get us in touch with Alziz to make this very deal back in New York, but Matthews did not hold up his side of the bargain. And Matthews died a rather gruesome death. His second in a week, he should be getting used to it. Food for thought. There was a debate. Well, I say debate, I think a massive row would be more accurate. Between, on the one hand, Chief and myself, who, being me, be a bit more realpolitik-based and pragmatic-speaking, were in favor of cutting a deal with Alziz and thereby avoiding walking into the death trap, while Frost, on the other hand, who was fanatically opposed to selling our soul to the devil and condemning ourselves to eternal damnation. So, a couple of issues with that argument. First of all, Alziz is not the devil. Second, Frost is assuming we're not damned already, which is one hell, pardon the pun, of an assumption. We decided to get in touch with HQ. After all, us owing LZs could, potentially, compromise Delta Green, if that still exists, of course. HQ authorized it, and not just authorized it, nay, they encouraged us to go ahead with it. So, we did. And we got the fragments. It's a stretch to assume that no one is the wiser because Gutzman went missing after the operation. Django Jones is apparently done in by Reinhard Galt. It does not take much speculation to assume that Gutzman might also have been done in by Reinhard Galt. Ah, well. Our return to New Orleans was uneventful. We delivered the goods. Brooks was departing for Carcosa, and we were informed that Lalene Dumont, or at least the thing that is impersonating her, was proving non-cooperative. Of course, it has not been up against the Pierce charm. Yeah, hottie fucking ha. So we arrived in the safe house, where we were met by Oshie and Ollie, who were keeping an eye on Lalene Dumont. Not too close an eye, because Lalene was not waiting for us. Instead, Professor Dr. Barney Frank, B.A., M.A., Ph.D., in a long string of alphabetic spaghetti was. The target chose not to beat about the bush. Of course, it was neither Lurleen nor Barney, although I suppose a purple dinosaur could come quite close to the category the target was in. The target introduced itself as something frankly unpronounceable, a scion of the serpent race that once ruled supreme over this third rock from the sun. Shape changes extraordinaire, mages most mighty, intellects inimitable. I decided that he, she, or it should be known as Plissken. You know, Call Me Snake, Escape from New York, good film. It's an arrogant son of a bitch, but it did want to talk to us. Plissken's view on things does not fill me with great joy. According to Serpentface, the King in Yellow moves in three parallel cycles. One in Carcosa, always, and this time, apparently, what does he mean this time, on Earth, and in the Dreamlands, where Steno and Nunu Ka, respectively, are at work. We already knew this, of course. However, according to Plissken, the Carcosa cycle is immutable. He claimed that it's the Source cycle, and all others are but shadows cast by the light of Aldebaran, shadows which can be changed where the light cannot be. So this contradicts the assumptions that Brooks had been operating on. Plissken claims that during the event, Nunu Ka shall be in the Dreamlands, Hastur shall be on Earth, and the King in Yellow in Carcosa. Plissken also claimed that he, she, or it will be able to eliminate Nunu Ka in the Dreamlands, provided some conditions are met. The main one being the liberation of his species, members held by the Iron Army on the Nameless Isle. Our friends from Zeus have discovered a portal that leads straight to the swamp where Nunu Ka is holed up in. Something to do with that inverted house in the lake that Frost managed to see close up. On Earth, we would have a 3-minute window, no more, to eliminate Haster's avatar before it takes its full form. Plissken went on to point out the potential flaws in the plan. The usual. Us, Homo sapiens, being an inferior race and quite honestly inconceivably primitive, and the unusual, extremely precise timing. For that, he had a solution that was ours to pick up, provided we would meet him at 459 Durado Street, apartment 4 in New Orleans. We discussed a bit further about the small issue of getting to the Nameless Isle, and in particular the fact that it's occupied by a couple of hundred Nazi wannabes with working guns. Plissken commented that the way the Nameless Isle leads to the laboratory of Herr Dr. Frank, which we copiously avoided last time, where he should be able to pick up either some working weapons or some of the substance that allows the Iron Army's firearms to work in the Dreamlands, which would apply to our own. Because of the temporal incongruence, I'll have to ask Brooks exactly what the hell that means, it will not naturalize our modern weapons, but will stabilize them for an hour or so, which should be enough. If we have to be there longer than 1 hour, we are probably neck deep in shit anyway. Then Pliskin vanished into thin air. Whoever sold Delta Green this escape-proof kit, they should get a visit from our lawyers.